Why don't we pray together? God, you are the God of this city. And as we've echoed last night and through Bible study this morning, we will see again today, this city needs you. This city, this state, this nation, this land, this creation needs you. You are the God of this city, and we want you to be the Lord of the hearts and lives of these people. You've called us here not by accident. Our being here is not any surprise to you. We are not worthy, but we come as your vessels. We come as your children, desiring to be used of you and desiring to see you move. Desiring to see you move in a way where this that happens this week will just be a platform, a springboard for all that you have in store, for all that you want to do in us and through us. Thank you for choosing to call us to this responsibility, as Jimmy said this morning, to this joy that is ours, to proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous, marvelous light. There are so many dark places in this city. And the only answer is the light of Jesus. And would that Matthew 5:16 be our prayer, that you would let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. We need you and we bless you and we love you and trust you, because your word says that it will not return void, but it will accomplish the work that it has in store today. And for those that are here today, would you take your word from my lips and place it on the hearts of people? And I pray that each of us would be challenged, encouraged, and convicted to respond with courage and obedience, whatever that call is for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Acts chapter 13? Acts chapter 13. Just want to speak to you very simply on the call of God. The call of God, what that looks like, who it's for, who that's to. In Acts chapter 13, verse 47, there's a challenge that God gives us as he quotes two passages, one from Isaiah 42 and one from Isaiah 49. And we'll reference those in just a minute. But I want you to think about, when you think about the call of God and think about the men down through history, the men and women through biblical history and even recent history who have been called by God, who have responded. You think about Noah. Think about Noah that God called to build a boat and there had never been any rain. Noah responded obediently. You know how many converts he had before he got on the boat? None. But he was faithful. How about Abraham in Genesis 12 when God called him? He said, I want you to pick up your family, I want you to pack up your things, and I want you to go to a land where, God, I'm going to show you when you get there. And he was faithful to go. And God blessed him and made him, gave him a promise and fulfilled the promise by making him a father, the father of many nations. We are descendants. We are his descendants who are the people of God. Amen. We are able. Are y'all out there? Okay, just checking. We are his descendants of his. We are his people, descendants of Abraham, called by God. I want you to think about three or four primary things about the call of God before we look at this text in Acts chapter 13, verse 47. When God calls someone, understanding that call is not a prerequisite to obeying that call. Some of you didn't get that. Some of you looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Let me say it again. When God calls you to a task, to a responsibility, understanding it is not a prerequisite to obeying it. When God calls, if He is the God, if He is the Lord of your life, then you have an inherent trust, hopefully, in that relationship with Him, because 2 Timothy says, when we are faithless, He remains faithful, and because His track record is historically faithful, He's not going to ask you to do anything that He's not going to equip you to do. He's called us here this week, and He's called you here in your life, and whatever that looks like, using your position as a platform to make Him famous, He's going to equip and prepare us to do the work He calls us to do. So your understanding, do you think Noah understood why God called him to build a boat when it had never rained? He didn't ask any questions. He just spent 100 years building a boat. And God saved he and his wife and his sons and their wives. And that was it. The animals that were on the ark. He was faithful. Do you think Abraham understood why God wanted to move him out of his comfort zone and out of where he was to a place He was going to show him when he got there? Do you think Esther understood why God would call her to go into the king at the risk of her own life to save her people? But they all did. Do you understand why? Do you think Joseph understand why God would let him go all that he went through? Being sold into slavery? Being left for dead by his brothers? For Joseph to say in Genesis 50, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Understanding God's call is not a prerequisite to obeying it. You know what a prerequisite to understanding God's call is? Obeying it. Doing what He says. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. Obedience, when God calls, obedience is our only option. I said, when God calls us, obedience is our only option. Church, are you out there? Give me some feedback, okay? Just because you don't like it don't mean you can't agree with it. I said this before, number three. When God calls you, He always equips and prepares you to do the task. Always. God's not going to call you and say, I want you to go do that, but I'm going to leave you to yourself. He's not that kind of God. Sometimes we like to go our own way and do our own thing, and that's when we get in a mess and get in trouble. But when He calls, He equips, He prepares for whatever the task is. Fourthly, if you are a part of God's family, if at some point in your historical past, in your life, you've entrusted your life to Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you are called. You're called. I didn't know that. You do now. You're accountable for it. You're called. Called to what? We're going to see that in just a minute. And here's the last one, and maybe the most unnerving. When God calls you to something, it's usually a calling to something that you can't accomplish on your own. Because if you can accomplish what God calls you to do on your own, then why do you need Him? The reason He calls you to it is because you need Him and I need Him to accomplish the work that He calls us to. Are you with me? We can't do it without Him. We need Him. You need Him. Doesn't matter how big or how gigantic or how small and minuscule the task or the calling may be. Without Him, we can't do it. But the Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Remember when He called Mary to be the one who would carry Christ in her womb? The angel said to her, Mary, nothing shall be impossible
with God.
And Philippians 4 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Understanding the call, it's not a prerequisite to obeying. God always equips those he calls. Obedience is our only option. If you are a part of God's family, if you're a believer, if you've entrusted your life to Jesus, you're called. And when he calls, it's usually a call to something that is bigger than you and I can carry out on our own. Reaching this city, reaching the city of Breckenridge for Christ is bigger than us. It's bigger than you and me. But it's not too big for God. Because he's a big God. Say it with me. He's a big God. Some of you don't believe that. Some of you don't believe that because your life doesn't give evidence of that. He's a big God that likes to do big things through ordinary people. You know why? So that he can get the glory. So that you can't say, aha, look what I did. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about what John the Baptist said in John 3:30. He must increase and I must decrease. I'm just available, ready. All right, you got your seatbelt buckled? Are y'all ready? All right, Acts chapter 13, let's give some context, beginning in verse 44. Paul and Barnabas were preaching, and it says in verse 44, and the next Sabbath nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the crowds, that is, the Jews saw the crowds that were coming as Paul and Barnabas were preaching, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, that is, the Jews first. But since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. That's us. Now look what he says. He quotes Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 49 in verse number 47 here of Acts 13. For thus the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light to the Gentiles, so that you might bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Would you flip over to Isaiah chapter 42? And I want to give you five things that I think describe in this one verse the call of God. First of all, I want you to see that his call, this is almost redundant, but it's worth saying, his call is providential. This call is providential. That means it comes from God. Look at Isaiah 42, verse number 6. You with me? Right there. It's kind of spooky. Turn around, it's there. Verse 6, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, to those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to any graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Do you see how many times the word I is used there in those four verses? They all refer to God. I am the Lord. I have called you. Who has called you? God has called you. Say it with me. God has called you. God has called you for this task. God has called you for this responsibility, not just for this week, but for your life, to proclaim him, to make him known, to make him famous. He has called you. I will hold you by the hand. I will appoint you as a covenant to the people. Verse 8, I am the Lord. Verse 9, I declare six times. You know why? You know why there's repetition in Scripture? Because it gives emphasis. It gives importance. And it says to us, you need to get this. God's call on our lives, it comes from him. It's not just somebody asking you to do something. It's God's call. And he says, Paul quoting him, for thus the Lord has commanded us. Jimmy taught about the study of Zacchaeus in Luke 19 this morning. Verse 10 really gives our commission. At the end of that passage where it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That call is providential. That's not just for those who have the gift of evangelism. That's for all of God's people. To go and reach the lost. to go and make him known and make his name proclaimed to those who are in darkness. It's a providential call. And listen, listen, the time is now. You remember what Mordecai said to Esther? Esther, if you don't go into the king now on behalf of your people, God's people, God will bring salvation for his people through some other means. But who knows that maybe God has not appointed you but for such a time as this. This is the time. I told our students in the group last night that this event, the birthing of this event happened 10 years ago. When Brother Don recommended me to this church and I came here and served for 20 months, and then I ended up two churches later where I am now, First Pflugerville, at the same church where Brother Scott now serves at Travis, where he was the children's pastor before I was. Listen, all that didn't just, it's not just happenstance. It's providential. And so when it comes to this place and this time, as God has intersected lives and worked in churches to bring us here for this time for a great work that only he can do, that he wants to do through us, because it's a providential call. He's called us. And listen, if he's called us, if we want to be in right relation with him and in harmony with his will, our only viable response is to obey. That's it. Because God's called us. It's a providential call. Here's the second thing I want you to see. It's a personal call. Look at verse 47. He says, "For thus the Lord has commanded us, I have called you as a light to the Gentiles. I have called you. I have called John. I have called Don. I have called Josh. I have called Scott. I have called McKenna and Hannah and on Cameron." God has called you. It's a personal call. It's a call corporately, yes, but it's an individual personal call. And my question today is, will you answer that call? I'm going to date myself, but there's an old Christian song. Scott, don't sit over there and laugh either. There's an old Christian song by Al Denson. And it says this, the chorus says this: "Will you be the one to answer to his call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take his light to a dark world? Will you be the one?" Will you? It's a call for you. It's a call you have to wrestle with today. Well, I'm not going to be out in the city this week. No, but you're called to be right where you're at. And to be his missionary, to be his hands, to be his feet, right where he's placed you. Where you work, the neighborhoods you live in, the community and city, the people you serve. He's called you. It's a providential call. And it's a personal call. Will you answer that call today? Thirdly, it's a powerful call. It's a powerful call. Look at what he says. Again, quoting Isaiah, God says, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles. I have placed you as a light. It is an amazing thing when you walk into a dark room and you can flip on a switch and light appears. Light does two things. Generally speaking, light does two things. The first thing it does is obvious. It shines. And that's the Matthew 5:16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven." But you know, at the same time when light shines, you know what else it does? When you walk into a dark room, you know what light does? It dispels the darkness. We say it a different way. When light enters a room, darkness has to flee. Darkness cannot stay where light is. Are y'all with me? I'm down here close. You ought to be able to hear me. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He's the light. He is the light that dispels the darkness. And listen, I said it last night, and Jimmy said it this morning. there's a lot of darkness in this community. Whether you want to admit it or not, and let me just make it broader than that. There's a lot of darkness in this land. And we need some people, God's people, to go and shine the light to places where it's dark. You don't have to go to Africa to do that. And if you do, it's okay. I was there last summer. But there's darkness in Texas. There's darkness in these United States of America. There's people that need Jesus. And we who are bearers and carriers of the light are called and commissioned to shine the light. Why? So the darkness will have to flee. Listen, the Bible doesn't say greater is you. It says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He that's in the world will kick your everlasting tail. Because you ain't more powerful than Satan. Don't ever think that you are. But the one who lives in you is. We can't live defeated. We can't live like he doesn't make a difference. Let your light so shine before men. So Jesus is the light of the world. But you know what else Scripture says? In that passage in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. How can it be? Jesus is the light or I'm the light? Yes! Listen, you can get this. Let's take a step at a time. He is the light. And his light comes to take up residence in you at conversion. And when that happens, his light comes to shine and live in you through the person of the Holy Spirit. And then you have the capacity to shine wherever it's dark. And you don't have to take too many steps beyond this building to find darkness. Listen, just to clarify, I'm not talking about physical darkness. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. And if you don't believe there's that kind of battle going on, just turn to Ephesians 6. It says we don't battle against flesh and blood. We battle against principalities, powers, and spiritual forces of wickedness in high places. That's why it says you're to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and take up the sword of the Spirit so that you can stand against the evil one in all his fiery darts. He's out to get you. He's out to get us. But listen, if I could say it this way, we've got a ringer. We've got God that lives in us. And he is greater. He is more powerful. And he has called us to shine that light. That light is the gospel that Jimmy was talking about this morning in Sunday school. The good news. Euangelion, the good news. The good news is good news, and there's still people that need it. And listen, we are the best that God's got. That's kind of scary. I'm the best God's got? Look, he's not looking, not for me. I got kids speaking to me on the front row here. He's not looking for our ability. Just some availability. Who'll go for me? Here am I, send me. And here we are. And there you are every day, wherever God places you and other opportunities he gives you. Why? To shine the light. It's a powerful, powerful call that God has given us and called us to. And here's the good part. Verse 47, God says, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles. It's a providential call. It's a personal call. And it's a powerful call. But watch this. It's for a specific people. Watch this. I have called you as a light to the Gentiles. You know who that is? It's every person you encounter. Do you know who that excludes? It excludes no one. So who has God called you to reach? Look around you. When you walk out the doors, just look around you. When you go to your home, look around you. When you go to school, look around you. Shawnee, when you go to South Africa, just look around you. See, God doesn't see preference by race, by color, by gender. God is no respecter of persons. We are. We'd be honest, we'd tell the truth, we are. God doesn't see socioeconomic status as a factor for sharing the good news. Do you understand that if God placed that stipulation, you've got to meet this criteria or you've got to meet this agenda, we'd all be damned for hell. All of us. It is a gospel for all people. And we live flippantly, casually, as if the person we pass on the street or live next to us in our neighborhood, as if they're not even there because we're so busy, because we don't have time. God help us. It is a call to all people. And it's a call to all people for you and for me. It's for a specific people. And that's every person that you can see, every person you encounter, every person God divinely places in your path is a person you're called to share the gospel with. He says it this way in Acts 1:8. You shall be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem, right here at home. In Judea and Samaria, your state, your country, and to the ends of the earth, wherever I place you, wherever the sole of your foot steps, that's where he's called you. And that's who he's called you to. Providential, powerful, personal, powerful, and for specific people. Here's the last thing. God's call is for a specific purpose. Look what he says. The Lord commanded us, I have called you as a light to the Gentiles. Why? And this is the whole crux of it, that you might bring salvation to the ends of the planet. Don't look funny in your Bible. It doesn't say planet. To the ends of the earth. Listen to me. Part of the reason it's good for people to go on mission trips, gets you out of your comfort zone, but it allows you to see that there's more to this world than just where you live. Because, listen, God is a... I'm sorry, I'm just going to tell you, he's not a Texan. God is a global God. He's a global God! And his desire is that all should hear. 2 Peter 3:9 says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith. And you and I are the hands and feet to do it. We're the mouthpiece. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are his ambassadors. We are his representative. We are the called ones. It's our responsibility. Now is the time to take the gospel, to take the good news, to take the euangelion to the ends of the earth, starting right here, starting right now. Will you go? Will you say yes? Will you respond? Will you answer to his call? There's only one of two answers. You only have one of two choices. Say, God, I haven't been responding to that call. But today I'm committing. I'm coming to repent for not carrying out the responsibility that you've called me to as your child. For thinking that you're a God who's not big enough to reach that friend for Christ or to save that. Listen, I tell the story a lot about one of my mom's brothers. His name is Jackie. He was an alcoholic and a drunk for 35 years. And when Don and I and our pastor friend James Pierce were on staff in Longview, I remember sitting in my Uncle Jackie's house. And James and I went, and he responded to Christ. And his life instantly changed on a dime because he repented. Salvation was for him. Salvation was for whosoever will. And you know what the good news is? There is no one beyond God's reach. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Is that belief lived out and provable in your life? Do you live as if you believe that? That no one, but no one, is beyond God's grace and God's reach? Listen, God doesn't need our help, but He chooses to use us. And if we're going to be obedient to that call, the only answer is to say, yes, Lord. I don't know how. You know my deficiencies. Maybe you're like Moses and you don't speak well. Maybe you don't think you're smart enough. God can take all our insufficiencies and all our inadequacies and all our idiosyncrasies, everything we've got, and in spite of ourselves, choose to use us with the gifts and talents He's given us, empowered and equipped by His Spirit to do the work that He's called us to do. Now, what's keeping you from doing that work? What's stopping you from answering that call? Will you be the one to answer the call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to bring His light to a dark world? Now's the time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God, salvation, to all who believe. Just break it all down. No stereotypes. Just people need Jesus. God's called us, His church, to say yes. Because His call is providential, it's personal, it's powerful, it's for a specific people, and it's for a specific purpose, that we might bring salvation here and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray together. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Brother Don and praise team are coming. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to God's call. You may say, Brother John, you know, I'm not sure that I know what you're talking about. I'm not sure I'm a part of God's family. Well, listen, my friend, that's where it starts. You can't be a carrier of truth and a sharer of the message that you haven't embraced. And God may be knocking on your heart's door today. And maybe you need to say yes to Him for the first time as your personal Savior and your Lord. In just a moment, Brother Scott's going to be down here, and Brother Jimmy's going to be down here, and I'll be down here. If you believe God's calling you to salvation today, to a personal relationship with Him, maybe you have some questions about what that means. We'd love to talk to you, help you know for sure without any doubt that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're a part of God's family. Your life has changed because of the work God's done in your life. But God's convicted you today. He's challenged you to go the extra step, to go the extra mile, to answer His call, to say yes. Maybe He placed a person in your mind or on your heart that you know is lost and needs to be saved. Maybe He's burdened you in a fresh way for this city. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and repent of your sin. God, I've not been serious about the call, but I'm serious. I yield my life to You afresh. Maybe you need to come and renew that commitment. Maybe you just need to come and pray for those that are lost in your family, in our city, our nation. As God has prompted you from His Word today, I encourage you, I pray with you to respond. Respond immediately, courageously, and obediently. God, this time is Yours, and we ask You now to do the work of ministry during this time of response that only You can do. I pray Your people would respond with courage and with boldness today to say yes to You, whatever it is, the work that You've done in their life and in their heart today. Break us, O God. Help us to see our desperate need for You while there's still time, for the sake of a lost world that needs You. In Jesus' name, amen.